In today's episode, Samantha is concerned for some snakes, Mike was born ready, and I share the legend of Large Marge. This is Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Mike, you're running the show on Pee-wee's, right?
Nah, dog.
I didn't do any research or anything.
I didn't do any research.
We can just make stuff up.
But you got to talk about it. It's the movie you picked.
All
right. Let's do the movie all first, because that's what we did last.
Samantha didn't have to do research on her episode.
I already knew
everything. Because she knew her. Exactly right. She knew her shit, so it wasn't necessary.
Yeah, but you still gave your little research.
I only brought up research because I wanted to like argue some certain points, so I needed to know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, all right. Buckle up, Buttercup.
I will. I will buckle up in this week's episode of, well, not this week. We do these monthly / bi-weekly. So in this episode of Funsphere Movie Club, I, Josh, will indeed be buckled up.
And I'm Mike. And I don't wear seatbelts.
And I'm Jamike.
Samantha's gone.
Samantha was done with this.
She's moved on.
I'm reminded of a line from today's movie when I deal with you two, and that I don't make monkeys, I just train them. Oh, such a good insult. Such a good insult. So, Mike, what are we talking about today?
Let's talk more about quotes.
Okay. What quotes from what exactly, Mike?
I don't know. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yay!
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Okay.
And finally, my pick.
It is your pick. So, since it's your pick and all, why don't you tell us what you love about this movie, how you came to get to know it, and we'll talk about it.
All right. Well, for as long as I've known memories and thoughts and feelings, I have known this movie.
Okay.
So I guess I was watching it before I was cognizant of myself.
That is always a very interesting thing to think about, what you have essentially known for your entire life.
Yeah.
And like when you are actively aware that your brain started to be like, hey, I kind of know what's going on right now. And I think a lot of people have movies like that. So keep going. Tell us a little bit more.
Well, I mean, that probably influenced a great deal of my personal thoughts and feelings of this movie versus, like, a critical evaluation of this movie.
Okay.
Because it would be the same of admitting your parents suck.
So, am I getting the feeling, like, in retrospect, that you don't have the, now that you've matured and you've encountered...
No, it's still great.
Okay. Glad to hear.
What I'm saying is, no one will ever be able to convince me otherwise. It's just ingrained in my, because again, it was a formative movie for me.
Okay, I gotcha.
There's a lot to love in it, though.
There is a lot to deal with in this movie. And to love...
It introduced the world to Tim Burton.
It did. I believe this was his very first movie, if I'm not mistaken, that he directed. Or at least...
I think it was his first, like, big movie.
Major movie.
I think he still did, like, shorts and stuff.
Shorts.
Yeah.
I almost said Ben Franklin for no reason at all.
Ben Franklin.
Tim Burton morphed in my brain to Ben Franklin.
That is a interesting mental connection, I'll say.
Bert Timlin.
I don't know.
That's what Ben Franklin morphed into in my brain.
Wow.
All right, so I'm
because it was like a mesh of Ben Franklin and Tim Burton.
All right, so Mike, I'm gonna say a few things here, or ask a few questions at the same time, I guess.
You're gonna be the moderator of the show. Thank you.
Oh yeah, I guess it looks like it's gonna be necessary for me to step in. So this movie, I believe, is from 1985.
Was it 85 or 86?
It might be 85, might be 86. Were you even alive when this came out?
I entered this world in May of 86.
Okay.
So no, was 85.
Yeah, I thought it was 85. Okay, so this actually happened before you were born. Do you have it? Go ahead, Samantha.
I also wasn't born, so.
I was going to say, I know Samantha hadn't been born yet. So, growing up, did you enjoy Pee-wee Herman?
Then? I did.
Okay.
Like the show?
Yeah, the show. Or was there a second movie, too? I can't remember.
Yes.
Big Top Pee-wee, which I was very much not a fan of. Okay. I didn't like any of the adult stuff with his character. Like, the idea of him having feelings for a girl disgusted me as a kid.
That's so funny.
Okay. So, Samantha, since you admitted you're the youngest here, how familiar are you with Pee-wee Herman?
A lot. I feel like there were reruns on some channel. I don't know what channel, but I know.
They even showed it on Cartoon Network or Adult Swim.
I was a kid, it was on one of the channels. I don't remember where, but I know I watched reruns of it as a kid. And then in school, he got arrested. And then that was a big thing. And then I don't think I saw this movie until I was a bit older, but I did enjoy it a lot. So it's a movie that I just randomly have an urge to watch.
Okay. So I'll admit it has been decades since I have seen this movie last.
What?
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, I like Tim Burton movies, but somehow I never, for some reason, associate this with Tim Burton, despite it having all the Tim Burton hallmarks, including music by Danny Elfman of what band, Mike?
Oingo Boingo.
Absolutely right. Okay, so, and I remember the TV show growing up, so I don't have, like, a hate for Pee-wee Herman, but, like, there was just a very, I guess, definitive cutoff line for me in that type of humor.
You were too cool. Too old and too cool.
I suppose that's true. I've always been too old and too cool.
Well, as someone with severe ADHD, it struck the right chords. Like, the spastic energy was exactly what my tiny brain needed.
Okay. Gotcha. So you related to the character and all that. And that energy. So, one thing I guess I will mention that I find very interesting about this movie is the fact that this was a movie made in the 80s. By a guy, I think in his late 20s, maybe early 30s at the time. I'm not sure how old Mr. Burton actually is. But it shows a lot of nostalgia for stuff from the 50s and the 60s. And I think it's interesting to sit back and watch that now, because we have so many people of our own age making stuff about their nostalgia from reruns from like the 70s and the 80s and moving into the 90s now. So it was as wacky as that all seems, like, I could see the argument that people would make, like, hey, Stranger Things is, you know, it's just a nostalgia trip for stuff from the 80s.
That's different, though, because that's actually a period piece versus, I think, aesthetic-wise, it would be... Well, no, it wouldn't be like that. I just, like, it's, I feel like it's a different thing if you were going to do something. Well, yeah, all right. So what I was going to say is that it would kind of be like Fallout, where
okay,
it takes place in this way older time, but it's influenced heavily off of a different generation. Whereas, yeah, like, Stranger Things... It looks 80s because it's set in the 80s.
But, like I said, it's made by people that are definitely trying to recapture that exact feeling and stuff like that, which I think is kind of the idea behind Pee-wee's interests and stuff that he's into. All the movies they go through in the movie theater or the movie lot, they're all movies that would have been made in the 50s and 60s. They're not actually, like, contemporary films that, for the time.
I think that makes... Well, I don't... Okay. I just had this thought. Is it because okay, those things would have been, like...
Free.
When the people... When the adults in that movie were kids, that would have been their life. And yes, Pee-wee's supposed yes, to be, like, super childlike. So it's sort of like...
Yes.
Like you never grew up.
Yep. I think that is 100% what they are trying to do there. Like, the fact that they've got, like, the beach dance movie, which never made it past, like...
Godzilla.
1961.
Well, even, what's his name? The car he was driving.
Yeah, all the old cars. Yeah, those are all throwbacks to 50s and 60s stuff.
Those cars are just visually appealing, too. More colors.
Oh, aren't they, Samantha? That is one thing I love going back and watching old movies for, is just to see the cars, because, you know, it's, we don't make them like we used to, certainly, because they're no longer the screaming death traps they yeah, were back then. But, you know, they definitely have a style that that kind of is timeless. As a car guy, I love cars from the 70s and 80s and stuff like that. Those are my always, like, dream cars, or older cars. Nothing really new.
Just to drive around
so
the block
nice
once.
To see those. Pretty much, because that would take a tank of gas. And yeah.
So, aside from the, like, the rest of the movie has a very 50s kind of feel and inspiration.
Yeah.
But the... Right before all the trauma happens,
uh-huh,
that was a, I'm, now that I'm thinking about it, that was a clever way of doing a contrasting scene, like that whole eight, like very, very much 80s shopping center,
yes,
where the bike gets stolen.
The BMXs all over the place, which were the bike du jour of the mid 80s, certainly. You had the BMX teams. You had all the, trying to think of some of the other stuff they had. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, this guy is definitely kind of out of time stuff that they put up. They're very clearly saying this is the 80s. This movie is not supposed to be taking place in the 60s and 50s and 60s.
He was just finding all the other weirdos.
Mm-hmm. He is. It is a celebration of kind of weirdness movie, too, kind of like you might see from something John Waters, except a lot less sexual in nature. So, Mike...
Another thing I'm thinking of is, I'm realizing the 80s were very anti-clowns, weren't they?
yes, but I would argue that, like...
Or no, it was 90s, wasn't it?
It was very early 90s, so...
Okay.
You had your bleed over. Yeah, because John Wayne Gacy happened in the 70s, so that was
so it was
clowns. Okay. Everybody started to realize, hey, clowns are actually pretty creepy when you think about it.
Especially in depictions of clowns. They're 1,000 times creepier than a real one, because you just can't make that face, like, recreate that face and make it not look horrifying.
True. Like, I'm even thinking now of, like, the movies from the 80s, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space and stuff like that. That's, you know, kind of a schlocky classic from this time period. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you something. I know that you are a devout student of comedy. And you know about a lot of, you know, writers and stuff like that. So a certain writing credit really popped out at me on this.
Phil movie. Hartman?
It is Phil Hartman, yes. Yeah.
So they, Phil and Paul Reubens, Pee-wee.
Yeah.
I think they were in the Groundlings together.
Okay.
And that's where Pee-wee developed the character, and Phil Hartman kind of helped him flesh it out. I think that was how that went. They collaborated a lot.
Really? I did not know that. I did not know that Phil Hartman was involved, honestly, as a writer for anything else. I couldn't... Was he a writer for SNL when he was on there? I mean, I know kind of all the comedians help write their jokes and the skits and stuff like that, but...
I can't actually say. I don't know.
Okay. But like
I would be surprised if he wasn't in some way.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I know
that there's another common thread with the two of them, and it's the lady that plays Elvira.
Yeah.
She was in the same group.
Yes. Cassandra Peterson, I believe, is her name. I'll look that up while we're thinking about that. Yes, I can 100% see why she was in this movie, because this type of movies and the stuff that it... yes, it is Cassandra Peterson. The type of movies that, like, that they're referencing and stuff like that would become, of course, fodder for Elvira's TV shows and movie marathons that she would host and stuff like that. Plus the character itself is kind of spawns out of those type of genres anyway. So yeah, it was really cool to see her in there, not as Elvira, but as the
Which I don't even like. I've always seen it around just through like pop culture stuff, but I have no idea what Elvira is other than a comic.
Okay.
Because I saw it at the store.
She's like a non-scary crypt keeper.
So she was just like a host.
Yes, she is a host. And
like B movies?
Yes.
Okay.
So like the type of movies, again, that are being referenced in here, like the horror movies, the space movies and stuff like that. Her shtick, I guess you would call it, would be that she is a host of horror movie theaters, like where they would play these type of B movies. And like her character itself kind of like spins off of the characters from those type of movies, like the vampire,
like
Vixen.
The monsters.
Yeah. Kind of stuff like that. She's an homage, I guess, to those type of
movies.
She's too, and the character.
Oh my gosh, who's the lady that she's like clearly based off of?
With the streaky hair?
No.
Oh, she's based off of
Ed that was in the Ed Wood movie. Who worked with Ed Wood?
Oh, she's based off of
Vampira?
Yeah, Vampira, I think.
Mm.
Milk?
Yes.
That movie came out way later.
Yeah, she is definitely based off of Vampira, the character. Yes. You know, and like I said, they based Lily Munster off of her too, and they based
Time is a flat circle.
Pretty much. The Morticia Adams kind of, like, you mix all those together, you kind of get where Elvira comes from.
Yeah. My favorite part of this movie is the pet shop. It's gonna let those snakes die.
I'm falling.
Just runs out with the snakes.
Yes, can you imagine that now? Like, the people would be screaming bloody murder if he walked past any animal. Like, you would let the snakes die? You would let the turtles or the fish or whatever die? Like, I think it's weird how people have become so much more obsessed over animals.
What?
It's because they're better than us.
It's
because
they're alive? Like, why do they deserve to burn up, Josh?
I didn't say they did.
So it's the guy who's about to watch our dog.
I didn't say I was going to watch it very well.
I
mean, you know. So I'm normally very bad with quotes from movies, like bringing them back.
Yeah.
But this has a lot of very memorable quotes for
it
me.
It does.
The one that I was going to say at the beginning of the episode was the, where's Francis? He's taking his bath. Oh, really? Where are they hosing him down?
Yes, that's the thing about Pee-wee. He's got some, like, very biting remarks. Like the line about, I don't make monkeys, I just train them. That was pretty brutal.
I know you are, but what am I became a huge thing.
Yes.
I remember doing that as a child.
Yes.
And it wasn't just quotes from him that were great. Like, I always love that bratty actor kids quote.
the kid from... the Wonder Years, the older
guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in something else too, wasn't he? Like one of the Home Alones or something? Maybe not.
No, he's not in
Home Alone. Anyway, he, where he's like, I was born ready.
Yeah. Yes. I will say this, just since it was brought up, I just watched Home Alone last night. But you know who is in that? Older Pete.
Yep.
Yep.
Older Pete's in that.
Oh, there's a band called Au Revoir Simone that I really like. That's just,
really?
Just named off the that quote.
So, I guess another like big thing is we already mentioned Cassandra Peterson as being a co-star in this movie or a guest star. It was pretty wild to see Twisted Sister doing that, so I guess that just shows they love the character, that they actually have a pretty big scene, I guess, in there. Like I said, it was weird seeing Phil Hartman in there, but he may not have been really that famous at the time that this movie came out, but he sticks out like a sore thumb now.
Tommy Pickles.
Jan Hooks had an iconic line.
Okay, which was
an iconic role. And she was the tour guide at the Alamo.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, the Google page for the Alamo is just like, no basement. Just like if you look at the Sun Sphere, I almost call it the Fun Sphere. If you look at the Sun Sphere, it's like, where do they sell the wigs?
It's the Wig Sphere. Everyone knows that.
Which, did you guys see the link that Angela sent?
Oh,
yes.
Right,
yes.
Before we started.
Yes.
It's funny that Knoxville, anytime it comes to like national recognition, it's always in a comical way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it wasn't even
like,
yes,
we're known for that. We're known for the wig sphere. We're known for butt chugging.
Yes.
I kind of like it.
That's what we have besides football. Yes. So there is also the sports teams that we have.
What?
Here, but the Tennessee Balls. Who?
The Speed Bears?
Yes, the Speed Bears. That would be a good name to rename the hockey team, the Ice Bears, to the Speed Bears.
Well, it was the Speed first, right?
What are you talking about?
I think it used to be called the Knoxville Speed.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It did used to be called
that. That's what they should have called the movie, Speed Bears. And it would have been clever because it would have been a mashup of both of our hockey team names.
But then...
Yes.
Is speed another word for cocaine?
I think so.
No,
isn't it?
It's another drug.
That's what
I
thought. Yes. Okay, I get confused with cocaine because it seems like there's a lot of things that are not cocaine that are used.
I feel like it's the same thing as
crack
cocaine.
Crack is not cocaine.
Correct.
But they can be combined to become crack cocaine.
Well, I thought it's like a type of cocaine, right? Kind of like bourbon is a type of whiskey. I figured it was something like that.
How did our discussion of Pee-wee's Big Adventure lead to the classification.
I'm sure our listeners love to hear
three of us
speculate on drugs.
Exactly.
Probably the most tame
people.
Laughing at us for being idiots, but I don't know. I don't need drugs to have a good
time. I think it's fun to speculate about stuff.
So
I don't
maybe
know.
Stop being so sad.
So the funny thing is, though, I can sort of like pull this back together. You guys will probably not remember this, but there is a PSA with Pee Wee Herman talking about crack. So
it doesn't surprise me.
At least we can at least get it back on track here.
You guys didn't even talk about how, what's the girl's name? Dottie? Is Tommy Pickles?
Yes.
From Rugrats?
I did not know that.
Lisa?
No. Dottie. She's Tommy Pickles from Rugrats.
No, she does other voices.
I don't think she's also Lisa.
No, that's Yardley Smith.
Yeah. She does do a lot of voice acting. It's just Tommy Pickles is the... Lisa is in We Are Back, A Dinosaur Story.
She is. That's true.
Oh, she was in the Powerpuff Girls,
yes.
too.
Buttercup.
And she was Babe.
You know, I was...
And she's what?
Wait.
Who?
In the original, too?
What are you talking about, Mike? We didn't hear you there.
So she was in Babe.
Oh, yeah, the pig.
Oh!
The pig?
Yeah.
Okay. The titular pig.
The Babe.
I was thinking, because opposite of Mike, I've always been very invested in romance, and I always used to root for her, but then I was thinking about it, and I think it would be terrible to date Pee-wee. Like, it may seem kind of like an exciting thing when you're trying to win him over, get his attention and stuff, but then I imagine it would be like dating a five-year-old, and it would just be endlessly frustrating.
Well, it's like the man says himself. He's a guy you don't want to get mixed up
no.
with.
No. Also, he's kind of a jerk.
He's a rebel.
I'm a loner, Dottie. He's a rebel.
I'm a rebel.
He's kind of a jerk like a five-year-old also.
Yes.
But see, like, for them to have established so much that he's, like, not interested in girls in this movie, and then the next one is pretty much exclusively a love interest story.
He got puberty'd.
It's weird. It's weird.
Sometimes bodies change. Oh, poor Milk. He died.
He's spoiled. All right, so we've established that Mike did not care for the sequels. Did you?
I did enjoy the one that came out a couple of years ago.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It was like a return to form.
I can barely remember.
It still wasn't as good as the original, but I thought it was a much better sequel.
I cannot remember anything about that except that it seemed like everybody was really happy to be doing it. Which is good enough sometimes.
And it had that one famous actor who was just himself being his best friend.
That always cracks me up.
God, what was that guy's name?
I did not see it. Like I said, I view Mr. Herman as belonging in his time and place in the 80s. And
he's in Pushing Daisies.
Early 90s. And forever will he remain there.
He was in Mystery Men.
He's in other things. There's a fake him in the Weird in Weird Al movie.
Fake him?
Some other actor playing him.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
Is it out
yet?
Yeah,
it was on the Roku channel, though. Because they want it.
I really want to watch it.
It's really... Skid9 said that it is probably the stupidest movie we've ever seen, and we mean that in the most, like, high praise way.
Have you seen UHF?
I love UHF.
I haven't seen UHF.
Oh, you have to watch it.
Yes, it is. It is an excellent film. Excellent.
I actually made Angela watch that earlier this year. Whatever they announced, this one.
Yeah, I immediately thought, I was like, why aren't they just like, you know what? We're just going to re-release UHF instead of, because that is the quintessential Weird Al.
So I didn't watch that movie until they started airing it on Comedy Central, and this would have been like the early 2000s.
Okay.
And the first time I watched it, I did not care for that movie, and I loved Weird Al as a kid. But then I went back and watched it, and as an adult, and I was like, "This is great." I think I just couldn't get past the
David Bowie's in it.
It seemed like it was kind of lower production.
Oh yeah,
quality and some cheese that I didn't realize until after the fact was intentional.
Actually, I think there's a very real like comparison between these two films, UHF and Pee-wee's Big Adventure, because
please elaborate.
Yeah, well, they're both trying to be kind of B movies. They are, yeah. Fran Drescher is in that movie. She's great in it. It's
Kramer again, plays a stupid guy.
Yes, he does. We're talking about, like, again, to relate to Speed Racer, these are earnestly made. All
they
of
are.
These films are earnestly made, and these are made by people that love these type of movies. They're not trying to make the next, you know, Schindler's List or anything. They are literally trying to capture the magic of what makes a B-movie enjoyable.
Yeah, like Tim
and
Heidecker
I
stuff.
Think that, yeah, I think that both of these films actually really do that. And it's weird because there was actually a real big resurgence of love of B-movies and stuff like that, like starting in the 80s and stuff like that and continuing forward. So like I said, they're kind of a, I guess maybe a little bit of a sister film, just in spirit anyway.
I'll watch it. This seems like something. Yeah. Now when Skid's here and we're like, what do you want to watch? Oh, I have something to contribute.
Maybe it'll happen.
You've had to start keeping a shared spreadsheet, because we'll have a random realization like, oh yeah, we should watch this, but it's like right before we're going to bed, and then you forget about it.
Yep, happens all the time.
So now we're trying to compile a list every time we think of stuff, that way whenever we're like, I don't want to watch anything.
So
it really
do
helps.
Have a shared spreadsheet list of films. We just keep forgetting to look at it. So that's.
So I thought of another similarity between UHF and Pee-wee's, if I may. So, you mentioned that UHF didn't really kind of like pop back up until early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
Even the concept of UHF was foreign to me.
Yeah.
Like, I had one television growing up that had that knob.
Yeah.
I had no idea that there was, like, long wave and short wave television.
Or ultra high frequency.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that means.
Yeah, that's what that means, yeah. So, both of these things, I guess, the character Pee-wee and that movie kind of disappeared and had a resurgence. Like, you were talking about the Pee-wee movie that was made a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, Rubens basically had to retire the character for upwards of, like, 15 years, I would say, because of his little...
Yeah, how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, his indiscretion, you know?
Don't bite me. What the...
Well,
which really... I mean, it sucks that it happened. Like, I wish he didn't go in the first place, but I don't think it's the most upsetting...
No.
thing in the world. Not like the news, like, really, somebody's masturbating at a porn?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very nothing, but I think it's
like, what, it blows my mind that those places existed and they didn't want that to happen. It just seems like a brand of torture. Who wants to do
it?
That
seems like a trap, like.
Yeah. Well, obviously it was.
It was a sting operation, yes.
Meant to trap Pee-wee.
Specifically, they were gunning for him. Yep. All right. Well, anybody else got anything to say about this movie that has made us just go off on the most wonderful of tangents in this
It's
episode?
A fun film. I can't...
It's very fun. And it's iconic in a bunch of different emotions for me. Like, it's got scarring parts of the movie, like Large Marge.
Like Large Marge.
Which, her wasn't nearly as scary as them retelling the story in the diner after the fact. And then the candle blows out. Ugh, I still get shivers when I see that scene. And you hear her cackle. All of the clown dreams were scary.
Yes. Basically, anything involving when they switch to stop motion animation gets very kind of scary.
Yep. Yeah, all the dinosaur stuff.
Yep.
I always really loved that the guy that was an escaped convict was because he cut one of the tags mattress. Off the mattress.
Yes.
I noticed recently when I was making my bed that they've added, like, except by owner.
Yes. Yes. Because that is a joke from the 80s that, you know, you would go to jail. That was on every TV show or something like that. That the hardened criminal, why did you go to jail? I cut the mattress off the tag off of a mattress.
Cut the mattress off the tag.
Yes.
By the time I was done with it, only the tag was left.
So, but like, to joke about that, like, I remember a few years ago when I got a new mattress and I noticed the tag, and my first instinct was, I better not mess with it. Yeah. Because I don't want to go to jail.
God, imagine if that was true and enforced. It'd be so invasive. Like, just mattress, was it Gestapo coming in?
Yeah. They're like, we have a search warrant. For what? Drugs? Guns? No, we're checking your mattress. And if your tag's gone, buddy, you're doing hard time.
Now I'm just really curious why that was a thing to begin with.
I think the story I heard is it was because it's about, like, reselling mattresses.
That's what I was wondering.
Like, yeah, it's like the tags will be off of a resale. If you're trying to sell a...
So that they know what the materials were?
They know what the materials are. They also know, like, this is not a used mattress. It's a new mattress.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I guess that was a thing.
Though it could be used with a tag on it, then what will we do?
It could.
The flawed system.
You know, there are some things you just got to trust. You know, you don't want to go
mattress tags or one of those.
Now
things.
I get my foam mattress. It comes in a box. It is sealed in tons of plastic. You open it and get startled because it like
it yes. grows.
It will it like
one of those
yeah, slow,
tablets.
Slowly raises, but like yeah, when you first cut the plastic, it just goes, and then it's just mostly flat, and you have to leave it alone for a long time. But then it's good.
All right. Anybody got anything else? Are we done here? We're done?
I believe so. I think my main thing was the snakes and how dating him would actually suck.
I believe you brought both of those points up. So, yes, taken care of. All right. Well, I guess
we do need to thank our Lord and Savior, Danny Elfman, for another fantastic soundtrack.
Yes, absolutely. The man... All right, we'll call it here, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.